This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I know this one.
Sing it, Hugh.
Bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye. That's all I know. I don't know the words.
But you, I know, you know Justin, the important part, yeah.
Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah. No. You know who knows the words?
Elliot?
Our next guest, Elliot Shure Parks.
I know he probably dances. He probably on the other side dancing.
He's at the Combine dancing. He's sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Sum up to the 5th C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot. And Cozy Elliot from Indy. What's up, Elliot?
Elliot!
Come on. Do I know the words to that song?
Come on,
I know the dance. I know the dance to that song.
Oh, yeah, because you watched it like you did on Deadpool.
Bye, bye, bye. Exactly right. It's the classic right there.
I think at some point that the audience of WIP needs to see that.
Yeah, you
dance.
Need to tweet that from Indy.
Gladly.
All right, Elliot. Lots to talk about here with the Eagles yesterday, today. All right, Elliot, let's start with yesterday. I know you were there. You were there at all the different press conferences asking Howie questions and kind of getting the feel of the other GMs, coaches around the NFL. Elliot, day one, what ended up your biggest takeaway on, it could be a big picture thing, small picture, but your biggest takeaway from day one of the press of the combine?
Man, it's hard because there was so much stuff that I think is interesting and important from what they said yesterday, but I guess my biggest one would be just the stressing of continuity by Nick Sirianni when talking about Kevin Petullo. I know we've talked about the hiring of Kevin Petullo, and I do think there are positives to it, and I think continuity to a certain degree is one of them. But I just don't subscribe to the same line of thought they do when it comes to this continuity. Like, I understand that he was on the staff last year, but you've lost the offensive coordinator. You've lost the quarterback coach. So this idea that they're, like, running it back from a continuity perspective, I just don't think that's true. Like, there are going to be changes, and the people around Jalen are going to be different. So I almost feel like they're holding on to continuity just for the sake of trying, but I don't know if it was honestly what this team needs next year. I think when you talk about how teams rebound from success, or I guess I should say have continued success next year, it's what A.J. Brown has said in the interviews he's done this offseason, which is they're going to need changes. They're going to need to not just do the same thing they did last year. And so hearing Nick stress continuity so much, I know they probably will make changes, but I would have preferred to hear, you know, Kevin Petullo has a lot of ideas he hasn't implemented or something along those lines, because I just don't think continuity is what will make them good next year.
All right, Elliot, one way to upset continuity and to change it in a big way would be to trade for Myles Garrett. Elliot, I'm very curious where you come down on this. If you were Howie, would you be all in for Myles Garrett? And let me frame it this way. If it costs 2 first-round picks, would you make the deal to go get Myles Garrett at the age of 29?
I would not trade 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Now, if it's a first and a third, and, you know, the contract is somewhat reasonable, obviously he's going to make a lot of money. Yeah, I think you go and you add maybe the best edge rusher in the NFL, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. And I do think, while I can sit here and it's easy for me to say no, if I was Howie on the phone with the Browns, that's a tough player to turn down. But I think you need to look at, like, there's a reason it matters when you're a good drafting team. And the Eagles have been a very, very good drafting team over the last 3 years. And this is viewed as a very good edge rushing class. It's viewed as a very good defensive tackle class. I really like Jalik Hunt and Nolan Smith. So while I definitely think if the price is right, you go and acquire Myles Garrett, the good thing about having a talented roster is you don't have to be desperate. And I think two first-round picks plus a massive contract, that is being desperate and spending more than you need to. So I would not be all in on him.
Yeah, Elliot, I'm with you on this. And I just think, I think about the two teams we saw win the Super Bowl with the, you know, the Eagles teams the last 7 years, and neither had any sort of great edge rusher during the regular season. They didn't have a 10-sack guy, but they had waves of pass rushers, and they won. And I don't think it's worth to put all those resources there into Myles Garrett.
I also think that while, look, I think the Eagles will have interest, I think they will be involved. It is important to note, Howie has never really been a GM that invests in one edge rusher. Like, as much as he loves the lines, and he does, like, he uses high picks on them, all that's true. When's the last time he paid an edge rusher elite money? Like, Bryce Huff got a good contract for sure, but Bryce Huff was not, you know, a top 10 guy or anything in terms of pay. We're not talking, you know, 50-60 million guaranteed. So while I think they'll be interested, it would be out of character to an extent for Howie to pay big money to an edge guy.
Yeah, and I go back, Elliot, the big trades that they have made where they've traded big resources and then money, those guys were young, right? I mean, you go back to A.J. Brown was 24. They tried for Jalen Ramsey. I remember that year, like 2019, he was 25. They traded for Jason Peters, who finally retired yesterday, and he was in his, you know, like mid-20s. When they do this, it's typically for a player that's 24, 25 years old, not 29 years old.
So I agree with that. The age is not the concern for me. I think it's something that matters, obviously, when you talk about resources and money. But I think you will get at least two more great years out of Myles Garrett. And so once you've decided to pay the price, like, Myles Garrett is worth two first-round picks if he is the Myles Garrett he's been his whole career for 2 years. I just think that they don't absolutely have to add that type of player. So where I would disagree with you is, like, the age is not as big of a concern for me as it sounds like it is for you.
All right, let's talk about Zach Bond, Elliot. Yesterday, Howie was asked about kind of rethinking positions, and he acknowledged that they do. They rethink positions. They obviously did it last year with running back. Jeff McClain reported today he's the priority. I saw you tweeted, you know, kind of being there for a day, how you tier what the likelihood of these guys coming back is. It feels like Bond is the priority, and now the question is, how far are they willing to go for a linebacker, and how high is his market going to go?
Yeah, I think they're willing to go pretty far. And I've said, you know, for weeks on this station that I think they're going to re-sign Zach Bond. And I think he's always been a priority for them. And the reason is because of all the free agents, he's the hardest to replace. Like, I think Milton Williams is the best free agent just in terms of his age, his position, and all that. But I think you can get by with Morrow Ojomo and a first-round defensive tackle next to Jalen Carter. If you lose Zach Bond, what's the replacement there? Like, they have nobody on the roster that can do it, number one. But number two, then you have to go out and sign somebody. It's a bit of a risk there. You don't know how they'll adjust to the system. You don't know what they can do. And while Zach Bond is going to get paid, I don't think Zach Bond is going to get, like, a top five linebacker contract. I would be surprised, frankly, if he was legitimately top 10. When the numbers come out, he might be viewed as top 10, but I think he will be much closer to, like, 11 than he will be to 5. So I know they want to sign him. Zach Bond wants to be here. These next 3 days will be huge because Zach Bond and his agent will find out how many teams are interested and what those teams are willing to pay. But assuming there's nothing crazy, I think once they get back to Philadelphia, like, you could see this happen pretty quickly.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here live from the Combine in Indianapolis. Yesterday, Howie asked for patience from the fan base. Elliot, when you heard him say that, you know, kind of seeing the quotes again and look at them in print, what was your takeaway? Because when I saw it, my first thought was he's prepping us that, you know, 2 weeks from today when the new league year opens, it could be a lot of defections and maybe just one or so, you know, like maybe Bond comes back that day. But I think they're preparing us that they're going to lose some of these guys.
Yeah, I think they are too. Now, I'll believe Howie is patient when I see it. You know, every year I'm at the Combine, it feels like the message is, hey, you know, it could be a slow start to the season, resources. And then every year we see Howie go out and be ultra aggressive. So I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think the message has some truth to it, which is, you know, when we're doing our all-day Eagles show, the first day of free agency, like, it is not going to be, hey, they got Saquon. Hey, they got Bryce Huff. I think it could be, oh, man, you know, Josh Sweat signed here. Milt Williams signed here. Dallas Goedert potentially not with the team anymore. So I think initially you could see the roster take a step back. But we've seen Howie his ability through the draft, post-draft free agency, training camp acquisitions to keep making the team better.
Elliot Shore Parks with us from Indianapolis. Elliot, if you had to pick a surprise that could happen this offseason, it could be they acquire something at some position or they move off of someone that we're not talking about. Like, there's always a surprise. I remember it was either last year or 2 years ago when the show you're talking about, we do it live from, you know, McGurk's or wherever we're going to be for the Eagles show and the Birds Town Hall. I think a couple years ago it was they cut Slay and then they brought him back. Like, if there's a surprise that maybe we haven't talked much about with a change, give us a guess.
Yeah, so I don't know if this will qualify because I've been saying it, but I haven't heard anybody else really talk about it. I think Goddard is a name you have to keep an eye on. He has no more guaranteed money left in his contract. If he hits free agency, he would be one of the top free agents available. And I think over the next week or two, you'll see a resolution there, whether it's an extension, and I wouldn't completely rule that out, or it's Goddard is traded or, you know, potentially released. I don't think he'll be released, but that's a potential option if other teams out there don't, you know, think the Eagles are just going to cut him anyway. I just think with his contract and how they're paying everybody else, like, Goddard is a name I would keep an eye on for Eagles fans.
So let's play that out for a second. Let's say that happens and they move off him. Are you thinking this would be something like Grant Calcaterra gets a shot and they draft someone somewhere in the draft? Or, I mean, there's a couple of first-round tight ends it looks like this year. Is this a case where the Eagles could get aggressive to go get a tight end, you know, maybe move up in the draft?
I think they would draft a tight end high. I don't know enough about the tight end class yet to say if, like, there is projected to be one around 32. But I do think if they let Goddard go, you could see them take one in the first three rounds, something like that. And then Calcaterra, I don't think they view him as a Goddard replacement, but he could give you, like, I don't know, 40% of what Goddard did, and then you piece the other 60% together with a first-round rookie, or E.J. Jenkins is a guy I know they like a lot. He had a good training camp. He got snaps as the year went on. So I think it would be piecing it together. But, yeah, no question, I know it's viewed as a good tight end draft, and that is advantageous if you're moving on from Goddard.
All right, Elliot, let's end with this. I meant to ask you something yesterday, and then I forgot, but we had the poll up.
I can't wait.
So, Elliot, you know, in the past, you've talked about things you think you could do, right? Like luck in a home run, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Do you think you could score on a tush push?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He
Are
said
you kidding
it was straight confidence.
I agree with this.
The better question is, could I do it on my first try, or would I need, like, multiple tries? If you gave me 10 tries on a tush push, I would absolutely
score. One attempt. What would you put the percentage like?
Fourth and one, game on the line. Elliot is carrying the ball in the tush push. Are the Eagles scoring?
Well, I am a big-time player, so I feel like when you add the fourth down thing, I feel like I would.
You got it, a money game. Yeah, money time.
Yeah. Red light.
Money time. Rise to the moment.
Yeah, I actually voted yes. I think you would, too. I think it's.
Of course. With this offensive line, like, no question about it. Yeah, I'll get it.
All right, Elliot. Enjoy Indianapolis, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks there. So he's pretty confident Zach Bond is coming back there. That Goddard guess was pretty interesting, Hugh. I asked him, you know, give us a surprise, something we're not talking about that could happen, and he thinks there's a